Kingdom Pursuits, where you hear from ordinary people instilled with an extraordinary passion. Together, we explore the stories of men and women who take what they love and let God turn their passion into kingdom pursuits. Now, live from the Truth Booth, your host, Robbie Dillmore.
We are loaded for bear today. On this December 8th edition of Kingdom Pursuits. And you'll find out why. Well, I'll just jump right in and spill a little candy here. We have Deanna Stolpe with the Bear Foundation.
Yes.
And so when you think of the Bear Foundation, you're thinking about, is that a foundation that doesn't have anything on it? It's just bear. Or are you thinking about a foundation that has a Bruin type of bear, you know
wild animal.
Yeah. Right. Or in your case, it has to do with what?
Foster care and adoption.
Foster care and adoption. And wow, what a cool thing to think about this time of year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This is, you know, a really transitional time of year for a lot of families thinking about making a change at the new year. And foster care is a great way to do that.
It really is. And my wife and I went through that training at one point in time. I'm very interested to find out. The Bear Foundation, tell us kind of your role in that process.
Mine specifically, I am the recruiter, so good place to be right here.
You're recruiting people to actually foster.
Hop on board, become a foster parent, so maybe you should start the process over again.
There you go. And next up, we have a whole host of bears, really, seriously. We have Roy Jones, Will Hardy, and Dave. You say it right for Reaver?
Dave Reaver, yes.
Mm-hmm. Dave Reaver. And they are with the 5th Annual Men's Summit, which is coming January 19th. You're going to be hearing a lot about this on the Truth Network. It's coming up January 19th. It's at First Christian Church in Kernersville from 9 to 3 that Saturday. But Roy, we got this. Why don't you introduce Dave for us and a little bit about what's going on?
Sure. Thanks, Robbie. Dave, thanks for joining us this morning. Can you hear us okay?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
Great.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Well, we'll just, Dave's a Vietnam War hero, so why don't we just turn it over to Dave and let him tell you a little bit about himself and kind of what he's going to share with us when he gets here in January, and we're just excited to have him. So we made an introduction to Dave through Nikita Koloff, who's a friend of the ministry as well. So with that, I'll turn it over to Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Dave.
I got to tell you, there's four words that are tantamount to my day today, and these four words are, go Navy, beat Army. I just thought I'd throw that in.
And so I take it you were in the Navy?
Yes, sir. I served in the U.S. Navy Special Warfare Command. I was what's known as a brown water black beret, and I was forward gunner on a little fiberglass riverboat that ran up and down the rivers and canals of the jungles of Vietnam. And the boat was made, as I said, of fiberglass. So you can imagine the up armor, they call it. Wasn't very much. Our only defense was really speed. The boats were fast.
And wow, wow. I hate to jump in there because we don't want to spill our candy, right? You know, people want to hear about this story, and I don't want to interrupt it because it sounds like it's going to be amazing. And so we're going to hear lot more. We're going to hear it. Go ahead.
I'm good to call her.
Pardon me?
I'm good to go when you got it.
Oh yeah, we're ready for it, but we've got you can tell that this is a reason you're going to want to listen today. But you know, our listeners are expecting Robbie's riddle. So, and we're talking about the Men's Summit. And speaking of summit, some might think that the Triad Men's Summit peaked when Dr. Tony Evans came last year. Did you think about that, Roy? You may even wonder if summit climbers ever rest. Come on, you can think through that one. Ever rest? You know, it's kind of like, okay. You could even say it was high time for the summit to bring up Dr. Benji Kelly and also, obviously, Dave Reaver, right? But
Reaver.
Reaver, I'll get it right. But here, I told you bears were coming. So Nikita Koloff's Uncle Ivan, the Russian bear, I don't know if you're familiar with him. He was in peak condition when he went over the mountain to see what was brewing.
Amen.
So you, yeah, I got your attention tonight. I'll say that again because it was so good. That Uncle, see, Nikita Koloff is a professional wrestler. He had an Uncle Ivan Roloff, who was referred to as a Russian bear, and he was in peak condition when he went over the mountain to see what was brewing. Which leads to the actual riddle so that people can win today if they could answer this. And this is really, I'm really tickled by my riddle this week. And it is, which summit climber in the Bible was in peak condition, not a raven madman, after his encounter with the bird feeder? So, we got Will of that one anyway. Which summit climber in the Bible? No, you can't answer it. You just got to, you know, the people are going to call in at 866-34-TRUTH so they can win today. And wait till you hear what we have, a great prize today. Which summit climber, men's summit, right? Which men's summit climber in the Bible was in peak condition, not a raven madman, after his encounter with the bird feeder? Rachel, if they can guess that, tell them what they'll win.
Well, today we're giving away a couple tickets for the Wake Forest versus Davidson basketball game on December 17th. So right. If they call in, they can win that.
Basketball tickets, December 17th, and somebody's already calling because they have discerned which summit climber in the Bible was in peak condition, not a raven madman, after his encounter with the bird feeder. And you could still have a chance at those two, 866-348-7884-866-34-TRUTH. So, boy, they're all, the lines are just lighting up, Roy. There are a lot of people that know about this bird feeder. So, Roy, getting back to the men's summit, some of the other speakers are, and can you kind of give us a little background on who they are?
Sure. We've got Benzie Kelly from Durham, North Carolina, with the New Hope Church. We've also got Tim Worley, former NFL player from Pittsburgh Steelers and also Chicago Bears, who played at the University of Georgia.
The Bears?
Yeah, All-American.
Oh, I told you
yeah,
we were loaded for Bear today. They're
All-American running back, yes. And then, of course, Dave, who's on the line with us, we're honored to have him. And he'll share more about his story in just a few moments. And, of course, Pastor Michael Thomas from Love and Faith here in Greensboro, North Carolina. So we've got a real diverse speaker corps and an exciting group for the summit.
And we have Kathy in High Point, who...
Hey!
Kathy... I'm so excited that you, do you happen to know which summit climber in the Bible was in peak condition, not a raven madman after his encounter with the bird feeder?
That was the prophet Elijah.
You're exactly right. And so the never, Robbie's, I have pondered this and I have all these men of God with me, women of God today to help me with this. And you're here too, Kathy, to help me.
Okay.
Is it Elijah, Elisha, or Liza?
It's Elijah, and there's also an Elisha. And Elijah was running from Jezebel.
There you go. So, Will, I mean, your take on that?
Yes, Elijah.
Just yes.
Deanna, you think it's Elijah or Elisha?
Elijah.
How about the other one?
Which other one?
That one after the bear, you know, that...
Elijah.
It's Elijah?
Yeah.
Okay. The never-ending question. We could even get Dave in here, but we'll hang on for Dave. Thank you. You're a winner today, Kathy. I appreciate you calling. God bless. All right. We also have Tom is in Denver, North Carolina, Hope. Tom, are you still with us?
I am still with you.
Tom?
Yes.
Do you know which summit climber in the Bible?
It was Elijah.
There you go. See? There is a man after my own heart. Elijah.
Also, I'm also a Nikita and Ivan Koloff fan, too.
Really? So, since yes. You're a fan, was Nikita technically his nephew?
That I don't know.
He was the Russian bear. And does that make Nikita the Russian cub? I'm just asking, you know, because we're loaded for bear today. Well, thank you for calling in, Tom. You win as well. When we come back, we're going to hear more from Dave because we got to hear that story. We're going to hear more about, right, the Bear Foundation.
Foster care.
Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. Today we are loaded for bear, as we've mentioned several times, as we have Deanna Stolpe with us with the Bear Foundation. We have Roy Jones, Will Hardy, and Dave Reaver with the 5th Annual Men's Summit. So as you begin to prepare for 2019, I'm telling you, one of the cool things always on our calendar for the last 5 years has been the Men's Summit. It's going to be at First Christian Church in Kernersville. Last year it was packed out. You couldn't buy tickets by the time the last days were there. So, you know, you might want to go to the website, kingdompursuits.com, and get your tickets early, because this is going to be another summit. You get to climb all the way up there and eat from the bird feeders. Anyway. And just coincidentally, there's a big deal going on at the Summit Church in Briar Creek on January 8th, right? For you guys, for the Bear Foundation.
Yes.
And from 6 to 9 p.m. And if you want to write this number down, you can RSVP at 919-573-8834. Or you can go to kingdompursuits.com. We're going to have all the information for you a little bit later. But when we left our hero, Dave, he was in a boat. He was in, did you say you were a Navy?
I was a Navy Special Warfare Command sailor called SWCC. And we were originally called Brownwater Black Beret, and today it's officially known as Special Boat Team, and we are symbiotically attached to the Navy SEAL teams.
Okay.
We are part of the Navy Special Forces.
And so you were describing riding in this boat, and go ahead and take us there.
All right. Actually, the boats were made of fiberglass and very vulnerable, in the terms used in today's war language, up armor. We had very little, if any, up armor. Our only defense was speed. And they're both very fast. It had two 50 caliber machine guns in the front, one in the back, with a Mark 18 grenade launcher on top of that, and two M60s in the middle, and four guys to fire all of that. Actually, only three, because one had to drive the boat. And on July the 26th, in a year following the War of 1812, better known as 1969, a sniper got a lucky shot off. And I was trying to throw a hand grenade, called White Phosphorus. And I think he was shooting at my head. He missed, hit my hand, and the grenade blew about 6 inches from my right ear.
Wow. So you went to throw this grenade.
My foot off of me. And the TBI and the loss of skin put me into more than critical, absolutely not acceptable that I would even think about living. But God had a different plan for my life than the communists did. And a helicopter picked me up off the bank of the river, which, by the way, when I jumped in the water, it could not extinguish the flame of white phosphorus, which burned underwater. And I was still burning on the bank of the river. And I knew then that it was going to, my brain said to my heart, you'll never live. And I remembered back, guys, I remembered back the promise I made to my little junior high school sweetheart who became my wife. I asked her to marry me when I was 16. And she slapped me when she was 13 for asking that question. And I told her she had the body of a 14-year-old, so not to worry about it. We got married, but we didn't know what the future was. And my future that day was contradicting my promise when I told her at the airport when I went to war, I said I'll be back without a scar. On July the 26th, that day, I broke that promise. And blew my face off, blew my fingers off, my right hand. They got them back on, but it didn't work. They're all curled up. And it took off my identity. It took away all of my self-centeredness about trying to be a nice or good-looking man for my wife, and transplanted self-centeredness of being scared to death to be seen in public, because I was just blown to pieces. My face was gone. In the last 45 years since my injury, I've had 57 surgeries, and the last seven were last year and a half. And in the last year and a half, I again, once and again, thank God I have a nose,
They've made me a nose. I got something I can stick in your business. I have eyelids on my eyes. Then I have ears, even though the plastic, it's a plastic ear. So often I speak in Jamaica one night years ago, and everybody was sucking air like a Hoover, scared them to death, and I don't blame them. You know, some guy's hungry and his ear falls off. I didn't know it fell off. I'm looking around thinking my fly was down or something because all these people are stuck there like that and wondering what in the world. So I looked around, and there's my ear laying on my shoulder. I stuck it back on. I thought it would help, but it got worse. They thought it was a miracle, and they all got saved. I had a hard time explaining that it was a phony ear, but I was not a phony preacher because I thought they were going to stone me. And I don't think you want me to go on your Christian television or Christian radio show then to tell you I went to Jamaica and got stoned. That doesn't sound right. But I'm in a great state of mind, a great state physically. I'm back to normal in a lot of ways. And then I was hired by the Department of Defense as a contractor. And since 9/11, I've done six tours to Iraq, two to Afghanistan, to Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, UAE, Bosnia, Kosovo, North Africa, South Korea, and on and on. Traveled with the troops all over the world as a resiliency trainer for the Comprehensive Soldier Fitness Program in the U.S. military for all four branches.
Wow.
And they don't call me because I'm good looking, I can tell you that.
So as you're coming in to do the men's summit, and I know there's a lot of men right now that are thinking, wow, I got to hear this, you know, what would you encourage these guys to show up at the church there on January 19th?
Well, I'd encourage them to come and find somebody uglier than they are, make them feel handy. I also believe that we have a word from God himself to these men to encourage them and to give them hope. And some of them will come broken. Listen to me. There's some will come more scars on the inside than I have on the outside. Mm. And God didn't let me go through what I went through to save my life, sit around watching TV through my toes the rest of my life. I traveled the whole world. I've been home one Sunday in the last 50. And I'm going to tell you, it is important to me to have the opportunity to share with them hope in Christ Jesus. Mm. And they will discover he's more than a name. He's more than a curse word. He's more than an ideology of a religion. He is a personal relationship that can transform their lives.
Mm. Wow. And as you listen to that, Deanna,
mm-hmm.
with the Bear Foundation, you know, it's interesting how God had him in such a place for such a time as this, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
There, as he was teaching him and walking with him as he would become more Christ-like through an unbelievable ordeal. But even there at the Bear Foundation, you came a year and a half ago. I'm wondering, is there a story since you've been there that year and a half where God showed up and you said, oh, this is why you have me here at the Bear Foundation, so I could see what God did with this family, with this child being adopted or this child being fostered?
I mean, there are dozens of stories like that. There are so many kids that come
into
our
program. I know, but I want the one that just jumps all over your mind and say, yeah, that one just touched my heart.
Yeah. Gosh, I think of a 7-year-old girl that we have in our program who is in a home with a woman in her mid-70s who has just loved on her so well. And the family that she is, her family of origin, her biological family, is working so hard to get her back in their home. And this, the relationship between the foster mom and the biological parents has really just been so transformative for both of them. And the way that they've worked together to really help heal their little girl has been incredible. And there are, you know, some things about the biological family and the foster family that they have a lot of differences on opinion, but they have just come together. And through the child being in foster care, the family has come to know the Lord. The foster mom has been able to minister to them, the family as well. And that when we are able to help not only heal a child, but reunify a family, heal a family, and have them come to know the Lord, that's really where things start to make a difference in my mind.
Wow. Wow. And so inside of that, understanding, you know, when we went into the foster program, my wife and I, you know, we all thought it was about adopting kids.
Mm-hmm.
And very readily we realized it could very well be about reuniting a family.
Yeah.
That you're just kind of the step in for a period of time so that family can get their act together so that child could be with their biological parents.
Exactly.
And then, wow, for them to have to come, you know, have a situation where they come to Christ and then you got these new believers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wow.
That's why we do what we do.
That is really, really cool. And you guys are in Raleigh.
Yes, Raleigh, Asheville, and Wilmington in this state, and then eight other states as well.
So you can see the foundation is all over the place. And so, Roy, you have a chance, you know, obviously you played football and stuff like that. You didn't go through losing your face, but although you do have a face for radio, wouldn't you agree, Will?
I would agree.
Yeah.
I wholeheartedly. Well,
Dave was encouraging when he told me there'd be somebody a little bit less attractive than me at the summit, so that's encouraging. No, just hearing the story about the fostering program, it's near to our hearts. We actually adopted a little girl several years ago. She's been with us now going on 7 years. And she had a very difficult journey, so I'd like to talk to you a little bit more about that as we move in. So.
Yeah, it's always interesting to me how God has these divine appointments for the people that he brings on this show that I really don't have any understanding of until we get a chance to hear what is involved. So
amen.
We got more coming from Dave, we got Deanna and Roy and Will. We haven't heard his story yet, so we'll stay tuned.
Yeah,
so much more coming
up.
Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, which, you know, God gave us that title, and it's so cool to see how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom. And when you look inside of Deanna's story there with the Bear Foundation, the passion that she has for adoptive parents, Roy's passion for men's ministry, clearly Dave's passion for men's ministry is God's, you know, allowed him to go on a different journey than many of us. But Dave, Will asked this really wonderful question that is one of my favorite questions to ask actually as a host, that in the book of 2 Corinthians, the first chapter, it says, God comforted us that we might, right, comfort others with the comfort that he comforted us with. So I'm wondering, in your life, have there been other people with similar injuries that God has brought you into their life to share?
Most assuredly. I'm a spokesman for American Airlines Air Power Foundation, which reaches into the military community very strongly. And among those in the military that have been injured and burned, when they look at me, they see my scars. In 1 second, they know that what I say is going to be effective. I cannot say to people who've been through divorce, I know how you feel. I've never been through divorce. I can say to a burn survivor, I know how you feel. And I have a scar to prove it. And Jesus did not go to Calvary in a limousine to die by lethal injection. He was crucified, hands up, palms out. And when he spoke and he said to us, in essence, I know how you feel, believe me, he had a scar to prove it. And that scripture you quoted is perfect. It's ideal. It says it so well. And a companion scripture.
Yeah. Yeah, that is awesome. Again, you can see. What a way to start your 2019 is come to First Christian Church in Kernersville and attend the 5th annual Triad Area Men Wide. You can say it better than me, Roy.
Well, it's just the Men's Summit 2019. We've tried to shorten it down a little bit, Robbie. That's great. But it's hosted by Talking Walking Christian Men's Ministry, which is a nonprofit based here in Greensboro. So,
and we are going to be out there live again. We're going to be doing a remote, so we would love to see you. You know, as we're doing Kingdom Pursuits, and it is just, you know, become part of my annual thing, and is to get a chance to kind of catch the vision for what God's going to be doing in 2019. And likewise, if you happen to be in the Raleigh area, the Summit Church, which most people in Raleigh have heard of the Summit Church, I think.
Big church, yep.
It's on Briar Creek, and that's coming up January 8th, Tuesday 6th. And what is that event exactly?
It's an information session. So it's for folks that are interested in fostering, fostering to adopt, to come out and just hear more about our program. We have current foster parents there speaking, and they do such a better and more eloquent job than I can do or anyone on my staff can do, talking about their experience and what it's been like to be a foster parent, just in general and with our program as well. And we talk pretty in depth about the process of licensure and how to become a foster parent. And that leads into an 8-week course of our program, essentially.
That is so awesome. And Roy, you have a story along those lines.
Yes. Our daughter, several years ago, ended up getting caught up in that 08-09 massive economic change that most people went through during that time period. And wasn't long after that, my wife came home from visiting up in Crossnore, North Carolina, and said, "Hey, I think we really should adopt a child, explore that option." And I had just gotten laid off, and I said, "Time's not right." Thinking from a worldly section and a secular point of view. And I said, "We just need to put that on hold." Well, 3 years later, God woke me up and said, "Hey," I was doing morning devotions, and I said, "Lord, if we miss doing something you've asked us to do," because things just seemed to be still a little bit out of kilter. I mean, I was in a good place spiritually, but financially things weren't quite where they need to be, and we were still struggling with some other things. And I said, "If we just missed something," and as soon as I said the prayer or asked the question to God, immediately pressed on my heart, "Hey, you haven't finished the adoption journey." And so I picked up the phone and called my wife, and I said, "Hey, I've got some news for you." And she said, "What is it?" And I said, "We have got to finish the adoption journey." She started laughing, and I said, "What's so funny?" She said, "I was just praying last week about that. It hasn't left my heart, but I told God he was going to speak directly to you about that." So that was January of 2012. Our daughter was being told at that time that she was being put up for adoption. She was orphaned at birth in the Ukraine, had been brought to the U.S. at the age of 3 by her adoptive mother to Lenore, North Carolina. Her adoptive mother died of cancer at the age of 10, when she was 10. And she's been moved 7 times, and we were introduced to her. That's on our wedding anniversary. May 25th is when we got to meet her for the first time. She came to live with us in August and has been with us ever since.
Oh, wow.
So now she has a family for a lifetime. She'll never think another day there's no one there for her. She's got brothers and sisters, and or sister, and mom and dad at the moment, as long as God keeps us here. So she's got a family that she can call her own until the day God calls her home. So
that is awesome. And Will, you had a chance to observe all this from the sidelines. I'm curious your viewpoint, because, you know, Will is like Roy's, you know, when you see Roy, you often see Will. And Will is this contemplative. I'm not saying that word right. You know, I'm not all that smart, but he thinks all the time. And when he has something to say, you better listen, because it's going to be awesome. So I'm curious, as an observer of this, what did you see?
Well, I think I saw in Roy and his situation a man who simply stands on the truth of the gospel, and having a love for men and a desire to see men walk the walk and talk the talk of a Christian man, giving them this opportunity with the resources. And, of course, our ministry is just built off of these four pillars of equipping, empowering, encouraging, and driving this desire in men to simply want to be a man and lead according to as the scripture has directed them to. So sitting on the side and being with Roy and being part of the ministry is a great experience. We've seen men's lives change in the previous 4 summits that we've had, men coming to an agreement with themselves that they have to make changes in order to impact the household in which they live, the community in which they're involved in, and society in general.
Yeah, and listen to the way he just modeled, you know, from my perspective, you know, he goes to God in prayer and says, you know, "What am I missing? What did I not do?" And then God told him, and he was obedient, right? That, you know, therein lies a big part of what I'm sure the Blair Foundation is about, prayer, praying that God will supply, because you're aware of the needs, but obviously they way overshadow the resources.
Right. Yes. I mean, there. I think stepping into obedience is really what we ask families to do. Just if you feel, I say all the time, I'm not in the business of convincing someone to be a foster parent or an adoptive parent. That is the Lord's job. He calls people to himself in that way. And if that's something that you feel called to, I just, you know, challenge folks to step into obedience and just follow what the scripture calls us to do. But yeah, we so often, I think usually, not all the time, but mom is the one that's on board, dad is the one that's a little bit unsure. And they, you know, folks start coming to our classes and that really starts to transition throughout the process of learning about trauma and how children, it sounds like your daughter was affected by the trauma of the foster care system and the loss of a parent. And I think the more that folks hear about the need and the reality of children who have experienced trauma, there are almost a million, or half a million children in the foster care system in the country today. And in Wake County, the county that surrounds Raleigh, there are over 1,000. There are 1,200 churches in Wake and the surrounding counties. If one family from every church became a foster family, we wouldn't have a need anymore.
And I would also say that having attended those classes, that you learn some phenomenal stuff about parenting, period.
Mm-hmm.
I
absolutely.
Mean, as it turned out, we didn't qualify, as it worked out, that we could be foster parents. And that was okay.
Yeah.
Because I will never trade the learning experience of understanding a lot about trauma and what the fostering system's about and these children that go through things. And just a simple, you know, easy thing that I learned was, like, the reason why kids run away is they're trying to take control of an exactly. uncontrollable situation.
Yeah.
And I think about so much of my life, I've been trying to run away. and you know, that's extremely practical, that if you want to take control, you know, of something that you know, all of a sudden you feel like you, and that's the reason why people quit jobs. That's the reason. And as I sat there and I listened to that teaching, there was so much there that was really, really valuable, that God, I think, had for us, you know, as part of that journey. And I would never, I would recommend anybody spend some time really understanding the process, understanding what fostering is about. Yeah. And then your hat's just off to the people that walk in that. And it is so much part of a men's ministry, right, Will? I mean, that being a parent is a big deal.
Indeed. And having a man who is in a family who understands the truth of the gospel and is a leader within the family, I think he is the one who needs to be the model for, you know, his wife and children. Leading them to church, leading them in a way that would be productive, not only for his family in general, but the community and church community at large. And I would just like to ask Deanna, how long does it take you to put a child in?
We're gonna have to find the answer to that question on the other side of the break. So you stay tuned. We got so much more Kingdom Pursuits coming up. Go to kingdompursuits.com. Find out when the summit is. Find out more about the Blair Foundation. The Bear.
Bear.
Not the Blair. The Bear. And nothing but the Bear. Welcome back to Kingdom Pursuits, where we hear how God takes your passion and uses it to build the kingdom, and how fun we have been having as we've been loaded for bear today with a Bear Foundation. Deanna Stolp, who, again, this is about foster care and adoption. And, you know, this is an organization there in Raleigh and where they work. But, you know, it was just wonderful that God provides us with so many different fascinating passions that I get a chance to work with. And I don't think I've ever had anybody specifically with this particular specialty. But also Roy Jones, Will Hardy, as they were talking about the 5th annual Men's Summit. It's coming January 19th. Again, put that on your calendar. It's going to be, what, about 5, 6 Saturdays from now?
Yeah.
that we'll be there. We'll be there live, but you need to get there early because it's going to start at 9, even before the Christian Car Guy. It starts at 9, and it goes through 3 o'clock, and there's lunch. There's food involved. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, you got men. You got to have food.
Yeah, included.
And I've gotten to eat that food several times,
yeah.
And it's always good.
Yeah, we always make sure to take care of the hungry men. And,
But the real food they're going to get is going to come from Nikita Koloff, who, by the way, he's going to be hosting it, but he's going to be bringing this team of speakers, Michael Thomas from Greensboro. I know at Love and Faith in Greensboro, a lot of our listeners are familiar with Michael. One I'm excited about is Tim Worley, he's an ex-Bear.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
Pittsburgh Steeler.
Yeah. Amazing testimony there with him, Robbie. He hit rock bottom and was ready to call it quits. And luckily, a policeman intervened, and he was trying to commit suicide by a police officer, whatever the term is there. But he's got an amazing story how God's turned his life around and using him for the kingdom. So
right, he's going to be there as well as Dave Reaver,
mm-hmm.
who we just heard from.
Yes.
And, of course, it's hosted by Nikita Koloff, and so, you know, that in itself is going to be high energy,
yeah.
and it's going to be a lot of fun. So, again, mark your calendars for that. But we want to go back to Deanne, and I'm really curious how you originally got involved with this, and why that passion for you?
Oh, gosh, this is a long story. I have a lot of family that has been adopted from Russia and China and grew up with a lot of adopted cousins and just always felt called to foster, well, primarily to adoptive ministry. And ended up, after I graduated from college, spending some time in the Netherlands and worked for an adoption ministry there. And really thought that's where I would be long term. But then I just felt God calling me to serve my community back home and serve the kids, you know, kind of in my own backyard and families here. And ended up moving back here and getting involved here. Yeah.
So you were over there in the Netherlands. I'm thinking Wooden Shoes and Shirley Temple.
That's it. That's really all there is.
Windmills.
Yeah.
Windmills. And,
that about sums it up.
And those kind of things. And you really, could you take us back to that moment at all? Like Roy talked about a minute ago, he was praying and all of a sudden God showed up. Can you climb inside of that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, primarily when you, so Dutch people start learning English at a very early age. And so, in elementary school, you start taking English classes, but the children that I was working with, they were not yet speaking English. So I'm, you know, speaking broken Dutch to children and not a super effective way. And it wasn't so much one particular moment for me, just over a period of time and really praying about, you know, what God had for me, where he wanted me to be, and realizing I'm not making the type of impact here that I could be making in my community at home. And I just ignored that for a really, really long time. I wanted to be there and was, you know, obviously loved it, but just felt God calling me back here.
Good for you.
And so when you got here, how did you find the Bear Foundation?
My parents, their business is right above our office. And so they said, there's this foster care ministry right below us. You should apply. And I did. And here I am.
And so there you go.
Yeah.
And if somebody's listening right now and they're thinking, you know, I'm kind of on the fence on this. I don't know what, you know, or maybe they feel like their husband wouldn't be on board. What would be some suggestions that you might have for them?
So I think the hesitation that I hear the most is, but I'm going to fall in love with this child and I'm not going to be able to let them go back home. I'm just going to love them so much. And that's what we need. We need parents that are going to be totally devastated when the child goes back home because they've loved them so much and they love them so well. And they're going to continue to pray for them for the rest of their lives. Mm-hmm.
Wow, I've never heard that answer. That'll take your breath. Yeah.
Take a special
You're exactly what I... But that's so true.
Yeah, and I think, you know, one of our foster parents said to me once, if you never love anything that you'll lose, you'll never love anything at all.
Right.
You could lose anything or anyone at any moment.
So how long does it take for, if somebody says, okay, oh, this is something I might, how long would it take to go from the start where you start the classes to where you actually have a child in your home?
So our class is a 2-month process, and we can actually start the home study. So we do have to come in, interview you, ask some pretty personal questions, look through your closets, all that stuff. And we can actually start that process while you're in the class process. And so it can take anywhere. You can become licensed within 2.5 months. And then your licensure, your classes are good for an entire year. So if you, you know, felt called to do it, but felt like you needed to pump the brakes a little bit, you could kind of take your time going through the process and go a little bit slower, and it could take, you know, up to a year. But that really depends on the families and what they prefer. The need is huge. We get about 15 referrals a week, and we can make about 2 placements. And when we can't place kids in our program, when we haven't trained families, we don't know that they love the Lord, we pray that those children that we have to deny into our program are going into homes that are able to speak truth into their lives, but we don't know that. We can't guarantee that.
So one of the things that shocked me when I went through that, mm-hmm. is it like 90% or something of those children that are in that system have gone through a severe trauma. And so these aren't, when you introduce these children into your family, it's not like, oh boy, you know, they're already really hurting and they really need help.
Yeah. Because of the lack of foster parents in the state, really, children are left in their homes of origin past a point where they should be in a lot of cases. The counties are going in and doing all the work that they can to help the family be successful while the child is in the home. But when children are eventually pulled out of their home, there are marks on their body. There is some type of physical evidence that they have been abused. And when you've gotten to that point, obviously something is going very wrong in the home.
And so kids that have been through that clearly need a Christian love. I mean, that type of love that you're talking about. Yeah. How could that you would be brokenhearted to, because it's going to take somebody with unconditional love, because they're going to, there's some struggles going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Our kids, you know, are so worthy of love and of a home that will love them unconditionally. And I think that can only be done through God's love, through Christ's love. And, you know, I'll be the first to say it's a challenge. It's really hard. I'm sure that you can speak to the challenges of bringing a unfamiliar. Was she 8 when you guys adopted her?
She was actually, she was 14 when she came, by the time we
got her. Oh, wow. Yeah, wow. So, yeah. And that presents a whole another realm of problems.
Yeah. It was a challenge. Yeah. Just from the standpoint, you're not sure. The other children had to adjust.
You know,
and it took them quite a bit longer than it did my wife and I. And then we probably, you know, lessons learned, you know, you say maybe we shouldn't have been so insistent on them accepting so quickly, but they've all become one now, so it's God worked all that out.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, having biological children in your home is another big concern, another big fear for a lot of families. And you know, your bio kids, most of the time they're gonna be okay. You know, they have full vessels. They have parents that have loved them and, you know, hopefully shown them the gospel, and it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for everyone. It's going to be a transition, but your biological children, they're going to only be better for it.
Yeah. And you're raising children for adulthood. Mm-hmm. And if you're truly a believer in the word, and as we were talking during break, being doers of the word, right. And loving the orphans and the widows, you need to do those things.
Yeah.
And if your children hear you talking about it and hear you hearing it on Sunday, but they don't see you putting it into action, it's hard for them to base their life on the rest of the gospel. So if you're not doing
the things and the orphan spirit itself, you know, Satan's all about trying to convince you that you don't have a father. And he's all about trying to get in there and make you feel fatherless and alone in the world, and talk about, you know, some special kids out there that have that kind of attack, but then can have an attachment you know, when they find that love, that it's it really becomes a lifelong
everything.
Right. You're talking about a lifelong relationship.
Yeah.
Or maybe longer than that. Eternity. Oh, how wonderful could that be? Well, I am so grateful for you guys coming from Raleigh today.
Thank you so much.
It's
for
the Bear Foundation as well as the Men's Summit coming up January 19th.
Thank you, Raleigh.
To the church there in Kernersville, First Christian Church. Now, stay tuned because we've got so much truth coming at you on the Truth Network. The Masculine Journey starts here now at 12 o'clock, followed by Disciple Magazine. Oh, wait till you hear what we have in Disciple Magazine. It's off the charts. Stay tuned. So much truth coming at you on the Truth Network.